And in heaven, the singing is going to be even better than that. Hard to believe. Our scripture reading for today is from James chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand there, or sit here at my footstool, have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. When I was in seminary, I remember in our pastoral theology class, the instructor told us that you should be careful the first year that you're at a new congregation for a variety of reasons, but one of the things that he said to watch out for was the fact that people from the community might come and try to challenge you and test and see if you would give away some of the church's money to help them with their needs. And they may come and kind of test you with this. In a sense, taking advantage of the church's charity and of you being the pastor there in the congregation. And so they said that you need to be wise about this and discerning with how you hand out money to poor people and so on. I remember talking to a social worker who told me that they'd found out that there are certain individuals in communities that actually read the newspaper to find out when new pastors arrive at churches, and then they go and see if they are easy targets for this. Well, sure enough, one of the places where I was serving early in the ministry, a man came into our church one day and had a Bible. I remember it was just as the service started, he came walking down the center aisle and had his Bible clutched to his chest and sat right up near the front and participated in the service. Afterwards, I shook his hand as he left and greeted him, had him sign our guest book and so on. And I found out afterwards he had mingled and talked with a number of our members, and one of our deacons came up to me, elderly man, wonderful Christian man, and he said, we got to help this guy. He really needs our help. He's really hurting and struggling. I gave him $50, but I think we should give some more money from the church to him and so on. So why don't you get in touch with him and call him? Well, the next day I looked the man's name up and gave him a phone call and contacted him and asked if we could meet. And in the meantime, I also called down to the local food shelf where we contributed money, or I contributed groceries anyway. And I was going to call and tell them to look for this gentleman to come and that he was going to come and on our behalf receive some of the food that we had donated there. And the lady said, oh yeah, we know him pretty well. She said, did he come into your church with a Bible? I said, yeah, he did. Did he have a confirmation Bible from the Lutheran Church, that he was confirmed in the Lutheran Church? Well, yeah, he did. Well, she said, he has about 10 Bibles from different denominations, and he goes around and kind of works the local churches and work in the system. So I called the man up, and I said, you know, you make true charity difficult for people to practice if you do this. And you make it easier for Christians to turn a deaf ear to people who really need our help. James, in our text before us today, addresses the issue of how we in the church may observe people and sort of categorize them based upon the wrong things, based upon wealth, for instance. And it's a common temptation for the church of all ages. This is not something new for us to hear, and it's certainly something they were dealing with in the early church as well. We are so easily impressed by money. We're impressed by wealth and status and social status and so on. And it's easy for us to be drawn toward that because of our sinfulness and to kind of give preferential treatment to people, partly because We want to be impressed by that, but also because of what they might be able to do back for us. And it's tempting for us to especially examine people based upon their level of income. And when we do that, we adopt the world standards for how it looks at people and by the way by which people are to be measured in society. And we can be so easily impressed by that prestige, if you will. We have a sinful tendency to kind of automatically sort people into various categories. And we do that not only because of social class or wealth and so on, but we can do it by race, we can do it by age, we can even do it based upon political affiliation. But God's church in the world is not to be like this and is not designed to be like this. The kingdom of God does not look upon people with partiality, differentiating people and so on. It doesn't differentiate people based upon man-made earthly human categories. The Holy Christian Church is to be, and in actuality is, the one truly multicultural, multisocial status institution. And as Christians, we are not to define ourselves primarily based upon other categories of our income or our race or our political views, but rather our true identity among each other and to the world and in our own hearts, our true identity is to be found in Christ. And how wonderful it is that in the Holy Christian Church and in worship services, people of all different backgrounds, people of all different social stratosphere and so on, come and kneel side by side together at the Lord's table to receive the very body and blood of the same common Savior. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one sacred feast they participate in. St. Paul said to the Corinthians, "From now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view." The church is to look at individuals from a heavenly perspective. Our Lord Jesus, if you study the Gospels, it's very apparent there that our Lord Jesus had such a soft spot in his heart for the poor. And it's not because their hearts by nature, poor people, are any better than people with money, but it's because they often do not have what one commentator called a handicap of wealth when it comes to spiritual matters. Wealth has a tendency, income and prestige and so on, has a tendency to make heavenly matters and spiritual matters and eternal matters less important to people. And those who are poor and less fortunate in this world may have less of an anchor on them because of that poverty. St. Paul, when he was describing that same church in Corinth, said this about them, writing to them, "Not many of you were wise by human standards, not many were influential, not many were of noble birth." And that's often the way the church is in this world. There are very few that are often of high rank and so on that are very active in the Lord's kingdom in this world. One theme that we often see running throughout Scripture is what you might call the greater being represented in the lesser. And I'll explain what I mean by that. In other words, a greater, more wonderful characteristic or quality in the heart of God that is now, that he has demonstrated to us and used in activity toward us in the realm of our justification, that he now desires to see reflected in those who believe and trust in Christ in this world in a lesser way in our lives of sanctification. Let me give you a couple examples. Humility, for instance. The Son of God humbled himself and took on human flesh to become our Savior. And the Bible now says to those of us who have benefited from that, that we are now to humble ourselves in our lives before our fellow man and to consider others better than ourselves. Another example of this, God's wonderful quality and characteristic of his forgiveness, that he in Christ and through Christ's work has shown toward us, forgiving us all of our sins, every one of us, every one of them, no matter who you are, just because of the cleansing of his blood has washed our sins away, made us righteous with God. And that same Lord Jesus now says to us in our lesser lives of sanctification, I want you also to go and forgive others. Well, the same greater to the lesser theme can be shown also now in the realm of how we look at the less fortunate in the world. If you think about it, you and I were in the poverty of our sins and in the poverty of death that we face in front of us. Talk about poor. Think what we really have in our future when it comes to just death and the potential destruction. But our Lord Jesus was charitable toward us. He saw us who were so much less fortunate, and he left his heavenly throne and all of his heavenly riches and took on our earthly poverty and came down into this world to rescue us and to save us, to provide us with a way to get to heaven by his gracious work toward us. Talk about the ultimate welfare program to lift us out of the poverty of our graves to the riches of heaven. We've benefited from that. And God now would have us have that same attitude in our lives of sanctification. When we demonstrate generosity and charity and even a loving attitude toward the less fortunate in our world, we by that demonstrate what God has done for each one of us through Christ. We also demonstrate through that the riches of this world is not what we're all about, that they're not our God, but that we serve a different God. And we also show by that our real home isn't here, but it's in the mansions above. I called back that deacon who gave up the money to that man, and I had to tell him what happened. And I remember he said to me, well, that's too bad that he does that. But you know, he still needs that money more than I do. May God grant all of us a charitable heart, just as he, in such a greater way, has demonstrated to us. Amen. Please rise. Today we keep in our prayers one of our recent graduates, Jonathan Moody. Jonathan's family is presently mourning the deaths of three family members just in the last days. And so we keep him and his family in our prayers. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come before you on behalf of your child, Jonathan. As he and his family endure the losses of their loved ones, provide them strength and comfort from your holy word. Lift their hearts and minds heavenward through the knowledge of your Son, our gracious Redeemer, who by suffering the poverty of the cross has granted us the riches of heaven. Preserve us in the saving faith as we await the arrival of your angels to escort us to your mansions above. Grant this all for Jesus' sake. Amen. triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Go in peace. Amen.